world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us here. Trying to wipe off my glasses a little bit before we get started so I can see. And I apologize for this big glob in front of you. That's my microphone. Because I've been getting a lot of complaints. People say, can't hear you, Coach. I yell as much as I can. Say they can't hear you, so we're in the process of trying to figure out here why some of you are having a hard time picking it up. Hey, I'm gonna say this as I jump in here this morning. One of the things that's happened really for me here at Coach Dave Live, and appreciate all of you being here with us. You guys have really not you guys. That's this show, this platform. How many is it today, Spencer? 2,687, I think. 2,687. 5 days a week. Somebody do some math. That's a bunch. That's a lot of shows. 2,687. Now, I don't know about you. My faith is deeper than when I started doing this. It's deeper. And do you know why it's deeper? You know why my faith is deeper, more real, stronger, unflinching? Is because I've looked into it. I've looked into it and found that, as one of our themes here is, who told you that and why do you believe him? And yes, Victoria, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I don't know about you guys. If I'm wrong, I want to know it. And I don't get upset if somebody questions my theology. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, said, Coach, you know, we were talking about theology. And I said, you know, I don't really know what I believe. Hey, something just got brighter somewhere. I don't really know what I believe. End time theology? I don't know. Spencer, do it for me again because people don't believe me. Go to Google or wherever it is. Spencer. How many denominations? Wikipedia. How many Christian denominations are there? There are 40 folks. Look at this, 45,000 different Christian denominations. Now, Spencer, if you click over here to the right, it says Christian denomination on Wikipedia. Click on that. Now, what's it say? 50% Catholic. Where was it? I just was reading that. 50%. There it is. Catholic Church has over 1.3 billion, which is 50% of all Christians. You know that? Half the Christians worldwide are Catholics. It does not view itself as a denomination, but as an original pre-denominational. The Catholic Church says, we ain't no denomination. We are the church. But so the total Protestant population has reached around 1 billion people. There's a billion. Look at this, folks. There's 1.3 billion Catholics. And the rest of us, only 1 billion. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Wow. 16th century Protestants separated from the Catholic Church. They called it the Reformation, right? Together, Catholicism and Protestantism, with major traditions including Adventism, Anabaptist, Anglicanism, Baptist. They call this majoring on the minors. Anglicanism. Where am I? Lutheranism, Methodism, Moravianism, Pentecostalism, Plymouth Brethren. It's like going to the grocery store and they got 17 different drinks of Christianity. Right? The Eastern Orthodox Church is about 230 million. Can somebody tell me what the theology is of the Eastern Orthodox Church and how that might differ from other Orthodox Christian or Eastern Orthodox and Oriental Orthodox and the Eastern. You see the mess. You see the mess we're dealing with, folks. I'm going to tell you something. People like to say the Bible says that I believe in that settles, and that is not true. It's just not true. In fact, we have all kinds of wars, Catholics against the Protestants, right? So I'm not going to, so stay with me, because all of you, whether you want to admit it or not, you are one of these branches of Christianity. Your theology has come from one of these, and it might be a mix. It might be a mix. And I'm telling you, every day I find out something I didn't know. I did not know that. I did not know that. And so what I want you all to understand here, as I've said many, many times, I don't really know what I believe. I really don't know. End times theology, rapture, preterism, speaking in tongues, laying on the hands, getting sick. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. But the more I dig into it, strangely, the more I know I don't know, the deeper my faith becomes. Because it's not just cookie cutter. It's not just cookie cutter. One size fits all Christianity. I wonder if at the beginning, maybe it was supposed to be. But then look right here. It says, divisions between one group and another are defined by authority and doctrine. Issues such as the nature of Jesus, apostolic succession, in other words, who's going to be boss, biblical hermeneutics, what the hell? Click on that. What is a biblical hermeneutic? Can you do that, Spence? Right down there at the very bottom. Biblical hermeneutic. It's a study of the principles of interpretation concerning the books of the Bible. It is the broader view of hermeneutics, which involves the study of principles of interpretation, both theology and methodology, for all nonverbal and verbal communications. While Jewish and Christian biblical hermeneutics have some overlap in dialogue, they have distinctly separate interpretive traditions. So let me tell you something. Whatever you believe, you got part of it, okay? You don't have it all. Ain't none of us got it all. And that's why I like coming here. Because I'm not afraid to tell you, I don't know. I don't know. The blessed hope. People say the blessed hope is the rapture. Well, I hope. But I'm sitting around waiting on the blessed hope. I know a guy just dropped dead the other day. Just dropped dead. He didn't see any rapture. You see, well, Coach, he's going to. He's going to be, you know, the dead in Christ are going, I get all that. I'm with you all that. The catching away. Look, I don't want to get bogged down on this. I want all of you out there, please feel perfectly comfortable believing what you believe. And the theme here at Coach Dave has always been, who told you that? And why do you believe it? That's the theme. I'm not here to try to change what you believe. I'm trying to get you to understand what you believe and why you believe it. And I'm not a my way or the highway kind of guy. I'm not. You listen to any, amount of time here and you're going to find out different versions. I love Randy Lunsford. I love Alan Zeifer. I can run down and I'm going to tell you, they don't agree. They don't agree on what we would call end time theology. Okay. So I'm saying this for a reason here. Okay. I want you to feel, please don't get butthurt and leave if we question your theology. Spencer, they pulled up there again. They don't believe it. 40 is Wikipedia. How many denominations of Christianity, Spencer? Go back one more. How many denominations? 45,000 versions. I'm a mutt. What version are you, Coach? I'm a dog kennel. I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, because to be honest with you, I don't get it all. I really don't get it all. And I feel comfortable where I am. As Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh would say, I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth, and you don't have to be my twin to be my brother. But you know this, don't you? Somebody's buzzing me. You know this. We go to war over it, don't we? We won't even fellowship with people who don't agree with us. We won't even fellowship with them. Man, oh man, oh man. That's not what the scripture. Okay, I want to jump in. I got some great stuff here. Stay with me. Hey, pull up number one real quick. Real quick, just to remind you, you can now register at Coach Dave Live. Listen, the event is free. But as you can see, it says register now for a meal ticket. And here's what we would like you to do. If you are going to come, please buy a meal ticket. Because we don't want you to run off to the restaurant with your friends and eat or go to McDonald's. We want to sit around and fellowship and eat together. Get to know each other. Food right there prepared for you. $20. You can't go to Wendy's, you and your wife, for $20. And we're going to feed you how many meals? I think three meals. Three meals for $20. There is no registration fee to come. It is a meal ticket. Okay, we got that? Got that? Buy a meal ticket. Say, well, Coach, I'd really like to come. I've got a strange diet. Well, buy a meal ticket anyway, will you? Buy one for somebody else, for heaven's sakes. And by the way, the price is going to go up. We're going to start out as $20 right now. And as we get closer to the event, it's going to go, I don't know, 25. I don't know what we ended up on. And Fritz Zimmerman's going to blow you away. Okay, so come on. Start registering on that thing so we can make preparations. Number two. Ray did great last night. See, what are you talking about? Ray did great last night. We had a Rob Pugh let me sit in at Wisconsin Christian News last night. If you haven't seen this, go see it. And I feel bad because I didn't know how to stream it so everybody can see it. And Wisconsin Christian News is on. I talked to Rob. For some reason, some people have a hard time logging on there. I don't know why. But you can find it at Rumble. You can find it a lot of different places. But we had a really, really good show last night.
Reality Reporters.
With Ray LaPlante explaining to us what happened. Grooming, all that kind of stuff. In fact, right now, Spencer, pull up number two and go to the 2 minute and 50 second mark to the 6 minute, 30 second mark. I just want to show you a little bit of a clip last night where I sat in from it. It isn't about me. Okay. This is good. Nice background. Looks good. I look good in blue. Go ahead. I got to shave my beard.
Guy on getting too long. Tonight,
you know, one of the things that's really, from my perspective, I don't know what's happened to Christianity. The idea that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who was probably next to John the Baptist, who Jesus said, of all those born unto a woman, none was greater than John the Baptist. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And what was it that John the Baptist did? Why, he spoke truth to power, didn't he? John the Baptist went to the king and told the king that his wife was a slut. Basically, he can read it. You can read it. Really ticked off the king, and the king threw him in jail. And then John gets in jail, and some of his buddies come and visit him, some other disciples, and John basically says, where's Jesus? You mean to tell me I've been standing up for Jesus? I get thrown in jail, and he ain't come and visit me? And so they carry the word back to Jesus, said, man, it'd be really good, Lord, if you went and visited John. It's amazing what Jesus said. He said, listen, guys, do me a favor. He said, you go back and tell John that the blind see and the lame walk. You do your thing, John. I'll do my thing. You play your role and I'll play mine. That's really been, for me, it's been a really, really encouraging time for me in my walk and in my life because why? I'm an ambassador. The Lord trusts me enough that he sends me. He doesn't have to go. He sends me. He trusts me to go do it. And somewhere along the line in modern American Christianity, the idea of speaking the truth, standing up for what's right, declaring the word of the Lord in regards to a situation, somehow along the line, that became hate. Huh? Hey, I hate to tell you this. The Bible says it. He hates with a perfect hatred. What? Oh, yeah. In fact, the Bible says, I wish I had it in front of me right here today, that God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, I don't know where you live, but to me, a worker of iniquity is a person. It's a person that does something. And the Bible says that God hates those people. But what? We know this from our religious training, that the gospel is for the lost guy. It is for that sinner. It is for that worker of iniquity. But we live in a culture and in a society today where if you're going to be a Christian, brother, you're not allowed to be judgmental. You're not allowed to say anything harsh. You're not allowed to stand up and be counted. You're supposed to be loving and tolerant and diverse and all that stuff. It really isn't the gospel.
Amen.
So we're really, I love that opportunity to come here because it's a new audience for me. And as I said, Rob has had many, many opportunities to kick me to the curb and he hadn't done it. And I just appreciate Rob Pugh for his bravery. But I have a personal investment in what we're going to talk about today, friends. And by the way, I like to make the show interactive, so we'll give you a chance to come in and ask some questions in a minute. But it's personal for me tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because the guy that we're going to have on, the man we're going to have on, I call him the guy, Pastor Ray LeBlanc, kind of, if I can say it, kind of flew out of my coop, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that's good, folks. It's really worth watching. It really is. Ray comes in and does a great job. David Arthur joins us. We talk about standing up to the grooming that's going on in Wisconsin. In fact, Ray was able to shut that thing down. So just put that in the chat. And again, I don't know how to do this, Spencer. When I have people who have a hard time logging on to WCN.T, I don't know why it is. But folks, you can always find it on Rumble and probably some other places. I would tell you this. This is worth your time to watch this. Ray gives some great insight. David Arthur gives some great insight. Yada, yada, yada. It's worth it, okay? It's really, really worth it. And I thank Rob for trusting me to be able to sit in for him because it expands our reach and it expands our audience. And it's not about an audience. It's about impact. And the more times I hear guys like Ray, what he did, just a simple old guy like Ray, make Jesus great again. What he's able to do, what Dave Allison's able to do, what Randy's able to do, what I just go down to what people are able to do. That's what I'm proudest about. When this whole thing's over, as Brett would say, a lot of guys on my coaching tree. Go back to that page. Go back to that page, Spencer. A lot of guys on my coaching tree, meaning what? They learned some stuff here and they applied it. And if you aren't replicating yourself as a coach or as a teacher, if you're not replicating yourself, you're not coaching. You're not coaching, man. Job of a coach is to, Woody Hayes was to produce a bunch of Woody Hayeses. And that's why Ohio Brett says all the time that he's on my coaching tree, meaning he grew off of the revelation that I gave him. And he went and he made his own branch and he began to have his own leaves and you have his own fruit. That's what we're supposed to do. And I'm here to tell you this, folks, that is not going on in the American church. It just isn't. It just isn't. So I'm going to show you some stuff here this morning. Let me see. Does anybody want to jump in here and yell at me yet? Let me. The more I do this stuff, the more I get confused. Nobody. Okay, good. Nobody in here yet. I got to show you this. This is really good. It's really good. Pull up number four. I don't know who this guy is, but he's my brother from another mother. That's all I can say. And I want you to know this, when you come here, I'm trying to edify the body of Christ. I'm not trying to criticize it. Wait, that's what coaching is. As I've said before, I had football players say, all you do is criticize me. Well, dude, it's my job to point out where you're screwing up. You're supposed to lead with your right foot, keep your hands inside, extended. You're supposed to do that. And when you do that, I don't say anything because you're doing what you're supposed to do. But I'm going to say something. If you're stepping with the wrong foot, if you're out of balance and you're getting knocked on your ass, I'm going to say something to it because I'm going to notice that. That's what a coach does, okay? So I try to coach all of us to say, what? Who told you that? And why do you believe it? Why do you believe it? There is a right way to do some things. So this guy... Warning to all churches. This I thought, man, this guy has nailed it. Go ahead.
wanted to share this video with you because I know you follow me because I give you a lot of good content that you can share with your friends and your family, or even to build your own faith up with Christ. This video was so simply done. It's just some B-roll and a voiceover, but it literally hits some of the biggest issues within the church, Christianity, the politics, and even our perception of Jesus. You got to check it out.
The Jesus being preached in most megachurches today is not the Jesus of the Bible. At some point, a lot of these churches decided that the gospel simply wasn't enough. So they borrowed from the world. Concert lighting, fog machines, celebrity pastors with big sponsorship deals, sermon series with titles designed by a marketing team, church buildings engineered to feel less like a house of God and more like a music festival. And that's entirely on purpose. The strategy is simple. Make it fun. Make it relevant. Make it comfortable. And they'll come. And it works. The seats fill. The social media clips get views. The Jesus of the megachurch is abundantly agreeable. He wants to fix your marriage, your anxiety, your finances, and your Monday morning. He stands at the door of your heart, not as Lord, but as a life coach, waiting to help you become the best version of yourself. And buried inside that theology is a lie. You are still the center of the story. Jesus just exists to serve your plot. But the Jesus of the Bible is God. He died not to improve your circumstances, but to atone for your sin. He rose not to give you a bigger paycheck, but to defeat death itself. In John 6, Jesus lost the crowd on purpose. They came for miracles. He gave them doctrine. They walked. He watched them go and didn't change a word. Then he looked at his disciples and asked, "Do you want to leave too?" The real Jesus knew that faithful preaching costs you the room. The fake one keeps it full. A Jesus who only comforts you and never convicts you is not a savior. He is an idol, built in the shape of your preferences. Jesus loves sinners like you and like me. The question is, if we'll deny ourselves and follow him and him alone.
So I wanted to share this video with you.
Well, that's pretty good, huh? Isn't that pretty good? And so we look around, you know, the theme, I mean, there's a lot of themes here. The whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And did Jesus Christ die on a cross to train people in a mega church to go worship God because it makes them feel better, and that they have no obligation to go into all the world, teach the world to observe all I've commanded you and love them with you always? And all the people sitting in that church are paying taxes to a government that teaches atheism to their children and to their neighbor's children. And the church does not push back against that darkness. Does somebody think I'm missing it here? Because I hear from people and they say, "Coach Dave, you're just so worried about the culture." And dudes, the culture impacts lives. The culture creates a worldview in which people live. And those of us who've received Christ and have this worldview of Jesus Christ as King, we have an obligation to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. But we call that judgmentalism. Who are you to judge? Don't be critical. Love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. No, God hates all workers of iniquity. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is really good. This is really good. We want to know why our churches, you want to know why our culture is a mess. Our churches are a mess. Our church, you go to church with 5,000 people. Are you kidding me? How do you build a relationship with 5,000 people? How do you do that? Do you know the character of the guy standing in the pulpit? Do any of you out there really know my character? You really know? Am I a, what's that word they called? It doesn't matter. Am I here just to rip you off? Am I here just trying to get rich? Popularity contest. How many of you have gone to your pastor with a concern you have and he brushes it off because it's difficult and he doesn't want to go there because it's going to cause division? And let me tell you something, division is a good thing. It's a good thing. The good from the bad, the all in from the compromise, the righteous from the unrighteous. Can two people sit together in the same church, one going out on his wife, and the other faithfully serving his family, can they sit in the same church? Something wrong when we feel comfortable in church. Something wrong. Now wait. Not that I don't want to feel comfortable. I hope you feel comfortable here. But I hope sometimes you get, as they say, kicked in the nuts. I hope. And the reaction is, what happens when you get kicked in the goods? How's your response? Thumb sucker? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't agree with that theology. Mm-hmm. What? I'm on a relentless pursuit of the truth. Come on in, Dave. That's good, isn't it, Dave? I got more. Yeah. I got more.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Spencer, if you could, would you bring up Proverbs 27, 5 through 7?
Wait a minute. Is that in the Bible, Dave? Huh? I never seen that verse. Go ahead.
Proverbs 27, 5 through 7. Yeah, again, Coach White, Spencer was bringing that up. Great program last night with Ray and David Arthur.
It was good.
You know, really, it's not a program. It's a presentation. What you're doing is presenting the truth.
Amen.
You know, for people. So, Coach, this goes back to what you're talking about here. An open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful.
Wow.
The soul that loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet.
Ooh. Oh, man. You see, it's only the truth that sets you free, isn't it, folks? It's only the truth that sets you free. So, you know, I was talking to Ray last night. If you haven't seen that show, it was really, really good. And I asked Ray, and maybe I'll pull you in here real quickly again, Ray. As Ray's standing up against, by the way, we know that they got the drag queen thing shut down. And they're in Marshfield. Ray did. With city council. We all know that story, right? And so I said, ask Ray last night on the show. David Arthur was there as well. David chimed in. Hey, Ray. Has all the church got behind you now? Have the pastors called you and thanked you for standing up and protecting the children? Because Ray made it very, very clear that this battle is about the children. But the Bible says it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to teach a young boy he can be a girl. Are you kidding me? And the church is co-opting that, not pushing back against it, afraid to look like they're hateful, non-loving. Sugar, we're the sugar of the earth. We're not the salt of the earth, we're the sugar. Oh, just be the sweet. Jesus loves you. Everybody just come here. Everybody come. Let's get 5,000 of us here. As long as you give your money and come, keep your mouth shut, you're welcome here. Don't you dare want to make an appointment with a pastor. You know what? Talk to the pastor about going to the school board meeting. What are you talking about, Willis? Be doing that. Come here. We got light machine. We got smoke machines. We got light. We got good preaching. And you want to cause division by talking about sin? Brother, you're in the wrong place. Jesus is love. Anybody with me? That's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with in America. 50% of Americans voting for baby killers. Catholics. We saw that at the beginning. The largest body of denominational Christians are Catholics. Spencer, what percentage of Catholics vote Democrat? Look it up real quick. Just curious. By the way, Democrats want to kill babies. Want to make that clear. Democrats want to kill babies. Hey, Catholics. The Catholic Church is pro-life. Hey, Catholics. The pro-life movement began in the Catholic Church. Catholics are pro-life. It was a sin to take birth control. Anybody remember that but me? I was raised Catholic. It was a sin. It was a sin. They used to say, well, that you got a big family. Why do they have so many kids? Oh, they're Catholic. No birth control. Oh, really? We're not that birth control was a sin in the Catholic Church? Really? And that's why Catholics have big families. Oh, Catholics learned the rhythm method. Right? They could do the rhythm method and not get pregnant, but they were not supposed to get. No, because why? Every time you had sex, there was an opportunity of a child to be created. And so that's why Catholics are pro-life. 44% of Catholic voters are Democrats. I'll say it again. Hispanics lean Democratic. 54% of Hispanics. No wonder the Democrats want the guys coming across the border. Well, look at this. White Catholics, 10 to favor the Republican Party. Only about 40%, even at the high numbers, 40% of the Catholics are voting to murder babies. 40% of them. The bastion of the pro-life movement was the Catholic Church. Catholics who attend weekly mass lean more Republican. Really? Really? You mean they come and they hear the word? And look, hey, I ain't picking on Catholics. I is one. Was. Whatever. Still am, I think. What about the Jellyfish Church? What's going on in the Jellyfish Church? The Jellyfish Church can't wait to be accepted by the culture. We want to be culturally relevant. Jesus loves everybody. Folks, that's the gospel message is this. You are a vile sinner, and Christ is a wonderful Savior. And no matter how vile you are, no matter what kind of animals you have sex with, oh yeah, you're grown up, you know, come on now. No matter who and what you have sex with, Jesus is still willing to invite you into his family. And the gospel of the kingdom of God is for the lost, not for the found. Once I get in, if I knew the lottery numbers for the Ohio lottery coming up, and I told people, hey, give me a call, I'll give you the numbers and you go play them, my phone would ring off the hook. But if I said, hey, I got the lottery number on how you can be saved from your sin, ain't nobody calling me.
Amen.
Because they don't think they're sinners. And they don't think they're sinners because we've taught people that Jesus is your best buddy. In righteousness, he doth judge and he doth make war. Revelation 21:8, I think it is. Pull it up, Spencer. In righteousness, that same Jesus, he judges and he makes war. Whereas Spencer's going to try to find it. Doesn't matter. Just trust. Trust but verify. It's there. Okay, I've rambled for 33 minutes. I didn't want, this is so critical. It's so critical. Because you know why? It's kind of selfish. Because I hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not like a coach judging everybody. Boom, Vinny. Boom. And I don't judge them. The word does. Here's the evidence, dude. Here's the evidence. Somebody better tell you. You in serious trouble, my friend. I don't care what kind of smoke machine you got at your church. I don't care how good a preacher your pastor is. I don't care how many are sitting around you. It's an individual thing, dude. Are you right with the Lord? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Because if you have not, brother, the King of Kings, when you stand before him, and in righteousness, he's going to judge and he's going to make war. He's going to have two rows. Oh, yeah, he is. Y'all, two books are going to be opened. And one of that books is going to be what you did, your deeds. Revelation 21, I think it is. And the other one is the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Well, if your name's in the book of life, then you're not going to be judged by these things over here. But if it ain't, there's a book. So, hate to tell you this, Jesus Christ is very judgmental. He's provided a way out. But if you think you're going to stand before him, he ain't going to judge you. Dudes, somebody save me. I'm going to go on. And I got one of those anointings on me today. Let me try to brush that off. So somebody, come. I got more. Somebody come on. Save me. Thanks, Dave. Come on back in. Oh, can you feel it? Can anybody feel that anointing out there? It makes me, runs up. It's good. It's a good feeling. It's like getting in a sauna. Go ahead.
No, it's good, Coach. And again, as you're talking, it just hit me. It's a lot like tennis. They have line judges, right? And that's kind of what we're doing, right? Is it inbounds or out of bounds, right? We don't decide who wins or loses. We're just calling it. Hey, that's it. That was inbounds. That was out of bounds.
That hit the line. Yeah. Hey, by the way, you can play all the tennis you want to if you keep hitting it out over the line. you ain't scoring. You're losing. And here's the lines. Stay within the lines. Really, that's it, isn't it? Isn't it? But see, for the most part, our churches have become life enhancement. Your best life now. How to live your best life now. Well, Jesus said, do this for me. Lay down your life. Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. Wait a minute. Whoa. How does laying down my life impact my friends? Oh, I know. To go to the school board meeting like Ray LeBlanc did, I'm sorry, city council meeting, and said, hey, dudes, you're violating the law. This has got to stop. And they hate him. Ray said, that's all right. I'm an ambassador. I'm just representing my king. And I thought maybe I ought to come tell y'all. When he came and told them all, and then read man's law, that grooming is a crime, the city council members started wetting their pants. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, man, I'm on it today. Come on, somebody come in. I'm going to have to go someplace else. Come on, somebody jump in here. I can't even read my screen today. What's wrong with my glasses? Thanks, Ray. Jump on in here. Rescue me, Ray, from myself.
Hey, man. No, Coach, doing a great job. And, you know, we do this all for one purpose and one purpose only. That's to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. And
Ray, you last night on the show, you said it. You made it so clear. Mm-hmm. It's not about the homosexuals. It's about the children. Isn't that what you said, Ray?
That's a key factor in order to win this argument, I believe, at least in this situation that we see going on and on. And God gives us many tools, and there's many people out here that have different ways to approach this thing. You know, I do a prayer meeting every Tuesday night with a couple down in Milwaukee area that are just advocates for the abortion issue. They're constantly out there every day. Standing up for the unborn children. So whatever Ray, your banner is, grab it and go with it.
This came up in the show last night. I thought it was really, really good. Folks, I'm going to see how smart you are. I'm going to ask a question. Can you name for me, I'm talking to all of you out there now, could you list for me some things that you cannot do if you're not 18? Can anybody list something that you can do that you have to be 18 to do it? Come on, I'll wait. Come on. Just say it. You don't have to raise your hand. Just click it and say it. Can't own a gun. Good. What else? Can't buy drugs. What else?
Can't buy alcohol.
Can't buy a beer. What else?
Can't vote.
Can't vote. What else? Can't buy cigarettes, I don't think. Can you? Can't drive a car. What else?
Can't serve in the military.
Can't enter the military. Right? Why? We have standards of things that can't run for public office. You're not old enough, wise enough, or whatever, in order to engage in that activity.
You can't see an X-rated movie.
X-rated movie.
Unless you're 17.
You can't see an X-rated movie. I, if you're not over 17. You have to be an adult. They called adult beverages. Yet, we let them teach perversion to our children. Call it education. Amen, Ray? Anybody out there think I'm missing it?
Huh? No. Hey, Coach.
Our culture is filled with things that you cannot do until you're an adult. Why in the hell are we showing them transgenderism at age 6 and 7 and 8? And it is a crime in Wisconsin to do that. Is it not, Ray?
Yes, sir.
It's a crime.
They all think they're above the law. The lawmakers.
The lawmakers. Huh? But see, there's no law if it's not enforced. Law's a joke if it's not enforced. Yeah.
And they also are allowing children to have abortions to mess with their entire body systems in the schools. The teachers hide it and they mutilate our children.
They do. Come on, Laurie. Come on.
You know, they're mutilating. I mean, you literally got teachers taking kids to go, girls to go have abortions, handing out condoms,
Laurie,
telling
let me ask
them
a
exactly
question.
How to have anal sex, how to get raped. Okay,
Laurie, hang on. Then, Laurie, let me ask a very simple question, folks. Let me ask a very simple question. Would you send your child to a public school and find out that when you sent your child to a public school, he fell in the schoolyard and he broke his arm, and the teachers and the principal decided that his arm needed to be amputated and they weren't going to tell you. They were just going to send you home with a son who doesn't have a left arm anymore. Can you imagine the hubbub that would be? Yet they do that every day in public education, undermining the will and the authority of the parents, and we don't do a damn thing about it.
And wait, and a parent has to notify the school to let them know your child is out six. Otherwise, it's truancy. Yet, they'll mutilate them and just, you know, slice and dice your kid without telling you.
Paul Gosselin said, if your pediatrician uses pronouns, run. That's a good one. That's a good one, right? Folks, all of this, folks. We're in a war. We're in a war. Good and evil. Can two walk together lest they agree? I'm going to say this. I'm not feeling bad. There ain't a church. Well, Clint, Pastor Clint, Dale, there's some. There aren't 10 churches in America that want to hear what I'm saying. Not 10 of them. Why is that, Clint? I don't know if Clint's in here today. I'm just assuming it's Dale. Why is that? Or any other pastors? Why is that? That pastors, for whatever reason, became Andy Griffith. Says, I'm okay, you're okay, let's all get along, we all love each other. What happened to fire and brimstone? Is it still out there? What would cause a pastor not to speak up when he sees the mutilation of God's children in the school and not speak up? Not speak up about it.
Because it's hard, Coach.
Say it again, Clint.
Because it's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard
it's
to
hard
go
to
against,
do.
Against the will of the people. It's very hard.
Because, Clint, the people have been convinced that schools are good. They got a good football team, good basketball team. Their band is good. Don't make ways, Pastor Clint. We don't want to oppose a school, right?
Yeah, the teacher prays at lunch, so everything's okay.
the teacher says a prayer before snack time. Yeah, I get it. I hope I'm not sounding negative. I hope I'm not. I'm just trying to. The hell, what's going on? Huh? Okay, so I'm going to throw my glasses aren't working. I don't know why I can't see it. Okay, pull up for me real quickly because I wanted to get into this. This is really good. Pull up number 5, Lauren. This one's for you, maybe, Lauren. Pull up number 5, Spencer. Huh? Listen to this one. Deadbeat dads. Go ahead.
Come on.
why are we giving you money and you don't even, you're getting rid of it. Like, you don't even want the responsibility. Okay. And we are rewarding women for terminating their pregnancy and then calling a man a deadbeat. So if the father doesn't want the baby, by law, he's forced to be responsible for the baby for 18 years. They make him pay child support. They'll put him in jail. They'll take his license, everything, if he doesn't want the baby. But if the mother doesn't want the baby, she gets to terminate the baby and get a pat on the back. And they call the father the deadbeat. But you the deadbeat, mama, not the daddy. You deaded the beat. You stopped the heartbeat. You're the deadbeat, not the man, not the dad. So, I mean, at the same time, they want equal rights. Well, if a woman should be able to abort a baby when she doesn't want it,
then the man should be able to walk away when he doesn't want it.
A man should be able to abandon a baby when he doesn't want it. And then we can be able to see how ridiculous all of this really actually sounds.
Boom! Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that's my 100% God. Right.
That's 100% right. Huh? And see, women have fallen into that trap because why? The man says, well, honey, it's your choice. It's up to you, honey. Oh, yeah? Let some guy come knock on my door and tell me he wants to kill my grandchildren. I'm not going to say to my wife, well, honey, if you want him to, I mean, I'm just a blob of tissue. What the hell? It's all propaganda that the church has not countered. So that's what I want to talk about. Let's see. I'm telling you, it's like I'm going blind today with my glasses. I can't even read. Okay, pull up for me. Number six. I only got 15 minutes. I'm going to put this in the chat because I want you to understand what's going on around it. Government propaganda. Control techniques, distraction, media manipulation. I watched yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this. Do we have it here, Spencer? J.D. Vance on The View. Hang on a second. The View is about as lefty as you can get. They're all lefty women. All lefty women. Big audience. And J.D. Vance goes into this lion's den. He did pretty good, but it was amazing. Because The View ain't The View, it's the left view. The View from the left is what they ought to call it. The View from the left. Now my question is, where's The View from the right? Where's the women's show that is all about righteousness? Where is that show? Or they could call it The Other View if they don't want to. But see, that's not what it's about. It's about the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And the church has decided we're not going to get involved with the culture. So now the left owns all the propaganda things, all the TV, all the left owns it. The left owns it. Because why? Church isn't going to get involved. I don't know what you think. Can you imagine what America would be like if I had a daily show on NBC in the morning speaking to godly women? Can you imagine? Doing this every morning as opposed to The View. Scroll down because this is important. We understand what's going on. If we don't get it, what is, huh? Here it is. I'm not going to read it all. How does a government, see the government, the Luciferian government uses propaganda to control the masses. They lie, folks. They are the first ones spreading the agenda. The government creates the narrative and then spew it out through their various media outlets. Go to the next slide on down. That's good. Take it and read it. The propaganda is distraction of the masses. Why and how it happens. See, they have to distract you away from shiny object over here. Look over here. Look over here. Look over here. While something else is going on over here. That's how propaganda works. Yeah, all of a sudden it's about Trump bombing Iran. And they want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the impacts on the economy, different stuff, right? So they pick a side, and then they propagandize you on the side. Go on down, next one. It distracts the masses. They shift the focus from rational thought to emotions. They show a poor little boy who thinks he's a girl. And Bible says they fool silly women. Where is that, Spencer? Silly women laden with lusts. Where is that? It's propaganda. It's in the scripture, Spence. Come on, I'll send you a dollar. Silly women laden with lusts. For this, of this sort are they, which creep into houses over the internet and on the TV, and they lead captive silly women who are laden with sins. See, women who are laden with sins are silly. They're silly. Spencer, what does silly mean? Silly. What did Webster say silly is? Silly women who would murder their own babies. That's silly. Silly. Weak in intellect. Foolish. Witless. Destitute of ordinary strength of mind. Simple. They're silly women who'd kill a baby. Silly women who don't know that if you get in bed with a man and he inserts his penis into your vagina at the proper time and he ejaculates, you could have a child. Only silly women don't know that. And then silly women are told, well, it's not really a life. It's not really. It ain't really a life. It's a blob of tissue. Silly women. Weak in intellect. Foolish. Well, out of charge for this. This is really good, isn't it? Really good. Okay, so they shift you from thought to emotions. How's the government use the problem, reaction, solution message? Oh, yeah, the government does so. They create a crime, and then they create a cure, and then they lock you down. That's how they do it. Huh? Economic crisis. Oh, yeah, that's the good. They use that propaganda all the time. Going down. Keep going. Keep going. Well, I'm running out of time. Population control restricts access to information. Oh, yeah, yeah. They tell you what you can and can't. You can't watch, and oh, yeah. Put it in the chat. Lorianne, come on back in. Propaganda. Hey. Your pastor propagandizes you. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. He tells her that you're not supposed to get involved in politics. That's what he tells you. It's propaganda. It's propaganda from a cowardly man. Ray LeBlanc has, as they say in Ohio, some balls. He has some balls. Because of all those people. In Marshfield, Ray's only got stood up, laid him on the table. And now all the other sissies, they won't even call him. Say, boy, Ray, you sure right on that one. How can we help you? You got any of those calls yet, Ray? How can we help you, Pastor Ray? Man, what a move you did, Pastor. You saved the children. How can we help you, Pastor Ray? You heard any of those yet, Ray?
No, they're all scratching my back, though, with sharp instruments.
What's their response, Ray? Why are they scratching your back with sharp instruments? What do you think it is?
Well, I really don't know. I can't understand it. I guess that's why we have 45,000 different denominations
that's
out
right.
there.
Because, you know. Ray, they think they're sugar, not salt. Huh?
Yeah.
Anybody out there doesn't like candy bars? I like a candy bar. Would you rather have a candy bar or a dill pickle? Well, we choose candy bar every time.
Well,
in
you know,
fact, if we had two lines of dill pickles and candy bars, which line would be full? Well the candy bar line.
Hey, Coach, I'll tell you, Mike Dice, or Mark Dice, he brought forth a candy bar and a 10-ounce piece of silver, and most people choose the candy bar with the silver bar. So that shows you their mentality, right?
That shows your mentality, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Laura Ann, come on up. Come on in.
Yeah, and the what they did to women is that, and women, I don't get it. You know, like hey, why
they're
women
silly.
Won't
they're
open
silly.
Their mouth.
They're silly. Well,
right. Well, I'm so I'm silly. I'm crazy. I'm nuts. I'm my Jesus and I are a Southside Jesus. We're across the other side of the tracks, but in Chicago, you know, Ray has brass balls, and you know, they're brass. Okay, and what women like me want and they're not taught, and I've been raising my daughter, is that you have, I want a man who's a man with a capital M, not a little boy. And I want a man who's going to protect, lead, and direct me and keep me safe. Mm. You know, and women have been told, and they've been brainwashed.
Propagandized.
Yeah, well, it's all propaganda and it's MK Ultra that women don't need men. You don't need a man to do this. You don't need a man to do that. So yeah. You're supposed to live in isolation.
You're not happy, get a divorce.
Yep, right. Yep. Well, and I've been beat up and bullied because I want to be married. I've always wanted to be married, and I want to be married to a man, not a little boy that I have to be a mommy to.
There you go.
I don't want to be a man's mommy. He had one. She gave birth to him. I want a man who's going to stand. We're going to stand together, lock arms, whether we like each other that day or not. But I still love that man.
Yes. In other words, as I would do, my wife would attest to this. When she's in conflict, I step in front of her and say, "Pardon me, I'll handle this."
100%.
Right.
Or when you and you're watching her back, you are her battle buddy. I want a battle buddy. I want somebody that when I'm sleeping, he's got my back and I have his. I want my heart knitted together with his and his to be knitted together with mine.
Oh, they're going to hate you. You're going to be hated of all men, is what the scripture says. Real quick, Spencer, pull up number 10. Huh? Did you guys ever see this? Probably didn't. Number 10. Ecclesiastes 10. Look at this. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So does a little folly with him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Watch this. A wise man's heart is on the right, but a fool's heart is on his left. So this right and left paradigm is biblical, folks. A wise man, his heart's on the right. That's why they say we're left and right. You get it? Oh, my goodness. It's all right there in front of us. We'd see. One more thing. That's not it. No. I'm going to shut up. I wanted to do more in propaganda, but I ran out of time. Hey, friends, can I tell you something? A lot of propaganda in your church. A lot of propaganda. Hey, Spence, Google that, propaganda. What does Mr. Webster say about propaganda? Propagandism. The art of practicing, I don't hate it, huh? To continue and multiply the kind by generation or successive production. That's to propagate. Propaganda, I can't believe that's not in there. Try it again. There is no propaganda. Okay, there you go. Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. What's that again? Ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. Wow. Can somebody tell me right now one thing that the Democrat Party supports about Donald Trump? One thing. Give me one thing. Paul just put it in there. Safe and effective. Safe and effective compared to what? It's safe and effective compared to what? Safe and effective for what? Oh, it's safe and effective if you have a death wish. It'll kill you for sure. It's safe and effective. So they use these propaganda terms. And we're not even smart enough to recognize that's propaganda. Hey, who told you that? Why do you believe them? They're just repeating some propaganda they heard from somebody else. 46,000 Christian opinions. See you tomorrow.